This is Q, the podcast, with Gian Gameshi from CBC Radio 1.
Well, if there was a hall of fame for advertising truisms, sex sells would surely rank as one of the first inductees. Consider the internet. In a recent list of the most expensive domain names, sex.com and porn.com ranked second and fourth in terms of the most money ever paid to own a web name. Sex.com and porn.com reportedly sold for $14 million and $9 million, respectively. And now, later this month, on March 18th, sex.com will once again go to auction and try to beat its last record-breaking sale in 2006. Sex.com's provenance, if we can call it that, is a long and twisted tale of greed, corruption, and revenge. It's one familiar to Kieran McCarthy. He's the author of Sex.com, One Domain, Two Men, 12 Years, and the Brutal Battle for the Jewel in the Internet's Crown. And we've reached Kieran in our studio in Los Angeles, California this morning. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. It's good to have you on the program. I want to get to this sordid tale in just a minute, but first let's talk about the business matter at hand. Do you think sex.com will sell for more than $14 million this time?
I'd be very interested to see. It's very possible. The price of domains have been going up, and there's been peaks and troughs. The last big peak was in 2007. But the recession has hit hard. So a lot of people in this industry are looking at this particular sale as a kind of a bellwether for how the state of the domain name market is at the moment.
And just to clarify, when we talk about what's being sold here, sex.com, this is money paid just for the right to use the name itself, right? Not for a website or anything content-wise beyond the web address.
Yeah, so there's two things in the domain name industry. One is the actual name itself, and the second is the business behind it. Sex.com is pretty much just the name at the moment. I think it is still the most valuable name on the internet. How much people are willing to pay for it, we shall have to see.
Okay, let me get into this sordid tale with you. It wasn't always like this in terms of the value of sex.com. Take us back to the very beginnings of this in 1994, and its first owner, somebody by the name of Gary Kremen.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is that Gary Kremen actually registered this domain and many other domains for free. So back in 1994, May 94, when he bought it, when he registered it, there was no cost for these things. You wrote a letter, you sent it to the relevant body, and they made sure no one else had it. And if they didn't have it, they wrote back to you and said, you now have the domain, and they gave you the details.
Right.
That was, this was the very, very early days of the internet. Back in late 94, early 95, people started realize the value of these things and started finding a way to charge for them.
If sex.com becomes so valuable, why didn't he develop it?
It's a strange thing. Now we think, because the internet's become so enormous in all of our minds, we think that sounds bizarre. But at the time, it was just some addresses that he had. And he had other, he saw that this was going to be valuable. But he was working on Match.com, which is now, I think, the biggest dating site that there is out there.
Right.
And he was the founder of Match.com. So he was working very hard on Match.com, and he was, frankly, a little bit embarrassed of sex.com. He got it because he could, but he didn't quite know what to do with it. And he's a classic geek. He is definitely not a pornographer.
Right. So then you've referenced a couple of times already in this interview this being stolen from him. Gary Kremen gets bilked out of the ownership of sex.com. How did that happen?
So this is basically the story that my book's about, which is why I got into it, was that this domain name was stolen. And then because it was stolen, there was a big legal fight. And then the U.S. Had to decide what a domain name was. Could it be stolen? And so what happened was that this guy, Stephen Cohen, who's this remarkable lifelong con man, also saw the value of these domains. And so he thought, I want sex.com. So he found a very, very clever way of stealing it, taking the registration rights off Gary Kremen, and then he developed it and made a fortune. So it was a remarkable sort of Wild West, and the very strange thing is that Gary Cremens saw the name on the registration for sex.com change, but he thought, oh, well, this is just a glitch because it's early days and the software is a bit buggy and it has switched back. Very, very different to the internet that we know now. This was a very sort of almost amateurish internet.
But then this ends up in a legal battle, as you say, Stephen Cohen versus Gary Cremens. What this protracted legal battle goes on and on and on. How much do you think Stephen Cohen made while he delayed the court case?
About $60 million, maybe up to $100 million. It was very interesting. He's a very, very smart guy, and his weapons are obfuscation, basically. He confuses things. He makes things so difficult to unravel that people give up. And so what he did with the court case is he just piled up letter on letter, and it went on and on and on for years. Of course, every day that he didn't hand over sex.com, he made more millions of dollars. So he was using the money that he was making from his stolen property to fund the legal battle to retain it.
Right. And was it all about money for Gary Cremens? Why was he so willing to keep fighting in court for 12 years to get sex.com back?
Well, this is the interesting side of the other side of the story, which was these two men, both of whom are incredibly smart, both of whom are incredibly stubborn. And Gary Cremens, he was running a whole bunch of... He was running Match.com and Autos.com. He was the poster child at the time. But then he had a big falling out with the new CEO and left the company with some shares. And then what he was left with was Sex.com. And so he thought, right, I'm going to build a massive site on Sex.com. And that's when he started getting into this fight with the guy that had taken it off him. And then I think it just became real stubbornness, a real insistence that he's going to beat this guy, because Stephen Cohen used to mock him and chide him and wind him up, saying, I've got it, and you know, you've not got it, you're not the owner, and he would just rile him. And so Gary Cremens said in his head, he nearly destroyed him, I'm going to get this back.
And he won.
He won in the end.
He wins and he's awarded $65 million. But how much of that money did he eventually actually collect?
Well, he got nothing at all. So this was...
The story just keeps getting more bizarre.
Stephen Cohen he lost the case and he was absolutely furious, obviously. And so he shifted all of his money from the US accounts into offshore accounts. And he jumped over the border to Tijuana just to avoid Gary Cremens. So Gary Cremens never got a single cent out of him. He did manage to get hold of Stephen Cohen's mansion up in the hills near San Diego, and that was lucky. But as soon as Stephen Cohen found out that he was going to take control of this mansion, he sent his henchmen round, and they absolutely destroyed the mansion. They tore it to pieces just so there would be no satisfaction on Gary Cremens' part.
Right, the hubris of men. Gary Cremens does get sex.com back after this incredibly long legal battle, and then he sells it in 2006 for $14 million to a company called Escom. Everything to this point would suggest that sex.com is extremely valuable. Why would Gary Cremens be selling it?
There was a couple of things. It was Gary Cremens took it over and he decided that he was going to make... At the time, the online porn industry was having trouble finding money. And so they were getting more and more, how should we say, niche, and frankly, more and more illegal. They were pushing the boundaries of legality. And the online porn industry was getting a very bad name for itself. So Gary Cremens, who is this guy who would be appalled to deal with that sort of thing, decided he was going to make a cleaner sex.com, a sort of family-friendly sex.com. And this really irritated the adult industry, who were all these advertisers. So they pulled all their advertising. So the millions of dollars he expected to make vanished. And he had to work incredibly hard to make money out of sex.com, particularly because he had enormous legal fees to pay off. So I think after about 5 years, he finally made it profitable with the help of some very smart people. And then when I think someone offered him a way out and a lot of money, he thought, I'm taking it.
But it's interesting, eh? Even as the internet has grown in its import in our lives, domain names aren't necessarily what they used to be, as you made the case earlier, because you can now, with Google, search for whatever you want. So ironically, sex.com may not be worth as much anymore, right?
It's something that is debated a lot in the internet industry at the moment. So you have one hand, people say, well, Google now makes the whole domain name system pointless. But the evidence is overwhelming that people use names. I mean, you see adverts all the time with people listing their names. People always want names is something that human beings are attached to. So there is an enormous value in this. But also the other point which people do forget is that Google uses names, domain names, to assess how valuable they are. So if you are writing about sex and you have the domain name sex.com, they will rate that as more valuable than someone writing about sex on, I don't know, on radio.com or anything else.com. So there is an intrinsic
hierarchy.
Logic to it.
What is all of this story that you've researched and been so close to in terms of understanding what's happened over the last decade and a half? What does it tell you about how the online porn industry has evolved since the early days of the internet in 1994?
The pattern is pretty much the same as the internet itself. The early days of the internet were really the Wild West. Pretty much anything went. And no one got in the way, and it was a free hand. And then gradually, over time, as more and more people got on and this became more and more important, people got a little bit more sober. It went through the business period where people started trying to make a lot of money out of it. And now we're going through to the sort of social period where all the big boys are connecting people with one another in a personal way. So these threads that the internet has gone through, from sort of amateurish and crazy to let's make as much money off this as possible for selling goods, to let's connect people in a personal way, it's pretty much followed. The porn industry has followed that, and the general internet has followed that.
The auction is March 18th for sex.com. Will you be bidding?
Well, you need a certified check for $1 million to even get in the room.
Right.
I'm going to find out if they'll let me in the room, but I may...
if the book takes off, you know, a lot of people will pick it up after this interview. And
I wouldn't be surprised if Stephen Cohen forged a check for $1 million just to get in the room.
Kieran, it's a most interesting story. I thank you very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Kieran McCarthy is the author of Sex.com, One Domain, Two Men, 12 Years, and The Brutal Battle for the Jewel in the Internet's Crown. It's published by Quercus, and he was in our studio in Los Angeles, California this morning. And that's full time for Q for today. Tomorrow on the program, Slash joins me here in Studio Q for a feature chat. Q@cbc.ca is where to reach us. Find me on Twitter @GianGameshi. Thank you very much for listening today. To be continued.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.